Anything else? I always drop my pen in when you're around. What's up?
I guess it's all you're dropping.
But he never makes a move. I don't get it. Do I need to start dropping soap? Is that what I do?
I'll go next door for that.
Now that you've got pants on, I'm more interested.
Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with the Pouring Old Man. This is episode 32 of the Pouring Old Man podcast. My name is Russell. Joining me for the very first time with pants on the podcast is Warren Crawford.
Thank you. It's nice to be here with pants on.
It makes a nice change, mate, honestly. It's less of the odour going around, which is nice.
Yeah, I didn't hear you complaining about the view.
Well, I just, you know, we were going to be recording at my place and I didn't want to my wife to see what she's missing out on. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, you know, 3 inches is fine as far as she's concerned. So, also joining me on the show, say a big hidey ho neighbourooney is Chris from next door. Chris.
Hello.
Also with pants on, I should point out.
I'm glad everyone's got pants on. Three dudes in a room.
It's not that kind of podcast.
Yet.
Give me a couple of beers.
So who are we? We are the Pouring Old Man with pants on. Just a few old timers talking about beers we love. We're not beer wankers, we are beer lovers. You can catch us on Facebook at Pouring Old Man. Instagram, you got Pouring Old Wazza, Pouring Old Pity, and Pouring Old Russ. And yeah,
TikTok.
We release. I've got the whole podcast thing as well. There, I'm offline. The whole wearing pants thing is really throwing me.
Yeah,
catch our episodes every Tuesday morning on all usual podcast services and all your unusual podcast services as well, no doubt.
Yeah,
but yes. So Chris is here. He's been brought up a couple of times on the show with you know, sharing beers, leaving beers behind, and generally being Brisbane's worst NRL footy tipper.
Did all right last week.
your sure thing last week, or your roughie, was the Souths to beat the Panthers, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I had...
How'd that work out?
Yeah. I picked Manly, though. That was the other one that I had in there.
Yeah, I think a few people did those, though. They're on fire at the moment.
Broncos threw me out, Souths threw me out.
Broncos threw everyone. I marked a footy tipping at work, and no one had... I think one person had the Broncos, but they were just doing crazy tipping, so...
The insane thing, Sportsbet had them at $10. To win, and there would have been someone that would have backed that. Good on them, congratulations.
Yeah.
Kind of deviating a little bit back bit here.
Yes,
I like that this is kind of the third opportunity that we've had to record without Pity.
Yes,
and you've gone, I need to bring someone in because I'm bored with talking to Wazza.
Well, yeah, pretty much, yeah. Just to liven things up a bit, you know.
You should see the Facebook messages.
Need to bump the ratings. They're a special guest.
Actually, I look forward to doing an episode just with Pity and I.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because the amount of shit that gets talked when either of us is not on this podcast.
I'm not looking forward to editing that one. A very short episode. I'll cut most of it out. Just be welcome to the show, and that's all from us.
It'll basically be you introducing the beers after the fact, and then just a recording of virtual Pity and virtual Wazza.
Yeah, I'll just dub over the top. So, and joining me is Mr. Black. Yeah, we're drinking a beer. I think Russell is a nice guy, really.
That is pretty funny. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
What have you been drinking, Waz?
A couple of good things.
Yes.
A couple of not so good things.
I've got to say, I think I've drunk more good beer in the last couple of weeks than I have for the first 6 months of the year, five months of the year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But yeah, carry on.
There's probably a few that I'm still mulling over in my mind, but there's a couple that I've made up my mind on. One was the peanut butter and banana stout from Range Brewing.
Yeah, that was of the birthday beers. That was the one I really wanted. But yeah, I think I went onto the website about 15 minutes after they launched and they're all gone. So I wasn't really looking at buying because, you know, I wasn't spending that sort of money on beers on that day. It's payday.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're all gone by then. There's only the pale ale or something that was still available at that time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Exceptional. It was really like the peanut butter and the banana was quite subtle.
Yep.
But overall, it was just a brilliant beer. And yeah, they told me at the time it was only on tap, so I went down the road, got like one of those old plastic bags, tried to get them to fill it up, but they refused. After that, I also had the Nitro Bee Sting from Ether. I know you guys spoke about last week.
What were your thoughts on that one?
Shit ass.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was okay.
Yeah. I've got a feeling it probably nails what it's trying to copy. It's trying to copy a Bee Sting like dessert, but I guess I just don't like the Bee Sting dessert. That's my feelings on it. But
hey, did you think it was a Nacho Bee Sting?
A what?
Nitro.
Nitro. Yeah.
I was going to say, what? Nitro. How is that appealing? Nitro Bee Sting. That sounds good.
You probably just gave someone a good idea, though. Nitro. Yeah. Nacho beer.
There's enough stupid ones
out there. Nacho beer. the almond was just a bit overpowering.
Yeah, yeah.
However, and I fortunately got this in the right order. So I bought one of those.
Yep.
And I bought four of the red Velour.
Yes.
The Velour Fog.
Yep.
Which was the red velvet chocolate stout from Ether, and that was incredible.
That's amazing beer.
Just hands down one of the best beers I've had so far this year, I'd say.
Yep.
Aside from that, two that I also had was a peach and vanilla sour from Wayward Brewing.
Oh, I've seen it around, so how was it?
Unremarkable. It wasn't bad, it wasn't good.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the type of beer you leave at Russell's place.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Take him a 4-bag drink, the good ones leave that behind. What is that doing in there?
The other one was the Pine Line Creamsicle from Ten Toes.
You lost me at Creamsicle, I'll be honest with you.
Has potential, but I reckon you can easily stuff that up.
It just wasn't what I expected. Yeah. Like, it was an IPA with some slight pine flavouring underneath. Like, it was...
It was an IPA, not a sour.
Well, that was kind of the flavour profile that I picked up. It definitely wasn't a sour, no. And it was... Like, it just didn't blow me away, unfortunately.
Yep.
So there was... Look, I mentioned them because they looked appealing to me on the shelf, but ultimately kind of just didn't really deliver, unfortunately.
I always fall down that gap. Like, it's known I'm not a huge sour drinker, but the idea behind them, and usually like the can art, just get me every time. That'd be good. Then I go home with a... I don't really like sours. Why do I keep doing this to myself?
I kind of do the same things with... I've lost. I can't think of the name of it. The lactose IPAs.
Oh, the milkshake IPA things from Three Ravens.
I'm really not delivering this message right.
It's going well. It's very descriptive.
It is. Yeah.
The thingy and the finger waves.
To give the audio description, he's wiggling his fingers in the air, trying to jog our memory. It's not helping.
It's not.
Unless it's the Garage Project beer.
Doing charades here, charades. You know.
There's a Garage Project beer called Talk with the Hands. So unless it's that.
Yeah, I'm talking Italian.
not great for audio. Let's be honest. Be perfect when we launch on TikTok. Huh?
Yeah, it'll come to me after I start drinking. That's when
we got a few beers lined up.
But anyway, that's all for me.
Cool, Chris. Any good beers you've been drinking?
Actually, a bit of a bolter out of the sheds. This is a bit of a breakout one.
Yep,
and very unexpected. It was the ginger beer, the white something from Ballistic.
Oh, that's the
Great White, was it?
Yeah, I forget what it's called actually. I know the ginger beer we had the other day.
Unbelievable. I'm not a massive fan of ginger beers, but it was a mid Sunday afternoon, not warm, not too cold, as you can tell. But it just hit the spot.
Yeah,
it was absolutely perfect.
Mm. Yeah,
and ginger beers, the ones that I've tasted over the years, some of them,
some of them are good, some of them are just not so good.
It's a bit of a lottery. You know what I mean? And this was so balanced, it's so well done. I think it was only like 4.2%.
Yeah,
which is in my like sort of.
Yeah, it's a good quencher.
Yeah.
Have you had the Brookvale Union ginger beer?
I don't think so.
You usually see it on taps a lot.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of a good baseline, I think, for a ginger beer. It's I actually really enjoy it.
Yeah.
It does get a bit sickly after a while. So I kind of use that as a guide, like, do I like this more or less than that?
Yeah.
That's how I use Tooey's Old with dark beers. Is it better or worse than Tooey's Old?
It's a good benchmark, though.
It is. I'm quite proud of the fact that
you think about our 20s or whatever. I don't know for yourself, but that was the benchmark dark ale.
Even it's just a very nice dark ale. It's nothing special, nothing wrong. And it's good if a... dark beer's got to be good. It's just going to be better than that. That's the benchmark.
It's sort of my Alamo when you go to a pub and there's no craft beer. And you see 2 years old and you're like, thank you. I can pellet that.
There used to be Furphy's for me, but Furphy's, I swear they've watered it down a bit more lately. So
Furphy's great with beer.
It changed, didn't it?
Yeah, it used to be really sort of like, really malty and a little bit sort of like more dark.
Or is it we just become, our palates become more sophisticated?
Yeah,
that's kind of what I chalk it down to a lot of the time.
Yeah. remember when this was great. This is terrible.
It's not you, Furphy. It's me. I've just moved past you, okay?
I've just grown as a person.
I was so convinced.
It's time that we saw other beers.
But I find that happens a lot with beers. Mm. Like, I'll be absolutely in love with a beer, and then I'll come back to it like a year or two later and go, what happened?
Yeah.
Did I change or did the beer change?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the opposite can happen as well. Like, sometimes you come back, I think, was it you or Pity was talking the other day, you went back to like Baltimore XBA. So actually, that's a good beer.
That was Pity, but yeah. I agree. That is a cracking beer. Mm. Yeah,
man, that's the everyday beer. Now.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can't decide on something, you're like, I have to do that.
Yeah.
I figured it out. Oat cream beers.
Oh.
Anyway, back to what we're saying. Yeah, sorry.
I'm sure you can edit and cut that.
No, just let it roll.
I'll cut it out, put it back in, and it'll sound perfect.
How to ruin a chain of conversation.
But the problem I've had lately is... I went to the fridge the other night and opened up. The first beer of the night, I want something clean, something crisp, something refreshing, something like a Baltic XBA. And looking, all I had in my fridge was the Red Velvet Stout. I had some of the Ben and Jerry's beer in there. I had a couple of other like really sort of like creamy sort of things and sours. There's nothing there I want to drink.
Yeah.
And I was crying out for like a Ballistic Oat XBA or Baltic XBA, something like that. But
yeah.
And you went with Ben and Jerry's.
I did actually. I had three of them, so I need to like get rid of some of them.
That was last week's episode, right?
Yeah. Anyway, so what have I been drinking? One I had was from Four Hearts. It's called Sippy Sippy Num Nums, which could be the dumbest name for a beer I've ever heard. But
I kind of like
the name or the beer.
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know what you think about this one because Four Hearts. Mm-hmm. I've tried a few of their things.
Yep.
And I haven't been. It's not that I haven't been impressed, but I haven't been blown away.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I was like, that's incredible.
And this is about exactly that, actually. Okay. Like, it smelt amazing. Like, I had the wonderful sort of like mango tropical flavors, but it was just a very dry finish. And like, it's like, there's the flavor and it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, it just finished up too. Like, it was fine.
Mm.
I wouldn't go out of my way to go back for it again. So one that I would go back for again was from Mr. Banks, Cake Eater.
Yes.
This is the...
Actually, that's a great beer.
They re-released the original one, which is with Equinox and Mosaic hops, and that was amazing. That is sensational. I did say the other week, I was getting a little over, like, oat cream IPAs and stuff like that. This is an exception.
I remember when that was absolutely going ballistic on all the sites. Like, everyone was just waving that flag. And they're right, it was a great beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what was that, last year, year before?
Yeah, no, it would have been last year, because I remember it came out, and everyone's got, cake eater. It was like...
That was your news feed. You know what I mean? It was just this.
Everyone's
beer.
Going mental for it. I was like, I don't get it. Is it supposed to taste like cake?
No, great beer.
But yeah, that was absolutely sensational. It was probably one of my favourite beers I had this year. So just absolutely wonderful. Another one I had this one last night from Black Flag Brewing. This is part of their Troublemaker series. So I guess they've got a series of things coming up. It's called Hopeless Romantic. It's an 8% IPA. The artwork on the can alone is worthwhile picking up because it's got almost like a graffiti style version of like Frankenstein on the back of it. It's fantastic. And really good beer. Just a classic IPA. It's fruity, smooth, easy drinking. And like I said, 8%, but you don't notice it. So
I want to try a bit more of their stuff. Like I'm interested. I don't think I've spotted them out and about.
They're popping up more and more. Like they've only got like two or three beers around. Like they've got the Affinity, I think it's a tropical IPA, something like that. It was a very colourful can. They've got their Run ESB beer. What else they got? The first one they put on the map was it was originally called Rage Against Mainstream, but when they hit the mainstream, they changed it to just Rage.
Yeah.
So but they seem to be producing some good stuff. A small brewery,
I kind of feel like they should be piratey, like Black Flag. I mean, I'm just sort of talking about Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Great game.
I feel like they should be piratey. I feel like all of their artwork should be...
Yeah. Like Queen Anne's Revenge or something like that.
Yeah. All the artwork seems to be more sort of street graffiti art kind of style. Like they seem to be heading down that way. So,
Or maybe they can reach out to us and tell us what the message is.
Yeah.
What's the connection?
Yeah.
The other one I mentioned as well from Balter, Cryo Haze, which is the hazy version of the Cryo Mofo they released earlier in the year.
Yeah,
that too.
So they've got their limited release of the year. They're releasing in pairs, kind of. So they release a West Coast version with hops, then a bit later they released the hazy version with the same hops. So that was really nice. It was like a refined, enhanced version of the existing Balter Hazy.
Mm.
Just a bit more sort of punchy flavours and fruity flavours. So
would it make more sense to release them both at the same time. So
that's what I thought, because that's what like Ballistic do with their single hop series. They release a hazy and a West Coast at the same time with the single hops, which these guys are going to stretch it out a bit. So whether it's because they... because it pops up everywhere in like first choice, liquor land, all that. So whether, of course, they're hitting so many bottle shops, they don't have the capacity for it.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. But it is strange, especially because it was probably a good like 2 or 3 months since the Cryo Mofo came out. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've had a big week.
Speaking of, I'm a bit thirsty.
Yeah. Let's crack in some beers. All right, time now for Show and Tell. Show and Tell today is going to be a little bit different. We have a range of beers given to us from the good people at Brick Lane Brewing. Mm. So we're going to go through and try 4 of their beers that they've given to us. A big shout out to Josh, a mate of mine from Brick Lane, who's hooked us up. He did give us a couple of cans of pale ale as well, but they disappeared.
They didn't make the journey.
Yeah, I want a pre-sample of the beers. So, in fairness, these have been sitting in my fridge for about a month now, so they're never going to last the distance. So, but thank you, Josh from Brick Lane, for helping us out with these ones. So, we'll go through and give them a taste and let you know what we think of these beers.
Yeah, keen to get into it.
Mm. Unleash the Kraken. Yeah.
All right, who goes first?
Just pour.
Just pour. Right. Tradition dictates that it's an uneven pour. Someone always misses out.
Yeah.
And depending on the beer, like whether you top them up, like. All right. So the first one we got up is what is it? A watermelon sour. A watermelon raspberry sour, isn't it?
Yeah, the watermelon and raspberry sour.
Oh, sounds good.
Doesn't look raspberry as such, you know what I mean? Let's try and give the sucker a bit ahead.
That's what she said.
I'm married, what's that?
Thank you, sir.
All right, no worries.
All right. So, as I said, watermelon raspberry sour beer. It's 4.2%. That's about all the much. Beer brewed in Australia. We believe in great beer in the independent brewing community. So, there we go.
Cool.
It's holding a little head.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Especially for a sour, it doesn't really...
It smells like it's got some good bitterness to it.
Bit of chunkies in there.
Bit of chunkies in the bottom there.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
They look like raspberry seeds, actually. So
some it's got a red chunky to the bottom.
Could be.
Again, it has been sitting in my fridge for a little bit, so.
Yeah.
Unfiltered, just like us. Except when someone bleeps me, Russell.
Well, stop giving me things to bleep.
I got warned about that. I think I've been, it's twice, I think.
Oh.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Strong watermelon.
The watermelon just kind of slaps around in that one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you're not peeling the tongue off your top of your finger.
It's like the, tartness and, kind of like spiking through. But the watermelon just comes flowing through. It's like, a big wave of it coming through.
That's a really good refreshing beer.
Yeah.
Do you know what it kind of reminds me of? Mm-hmm. The Gatherer from... Stone and Wood.
I've never actually had it.
Have you?
Okay. No. I've seen it there, and not today.
It's just, I really enjoy it because it's, it is a real good summer beer. It's fresh, it's light. It's got a really clean, crisp taste to the palate, and this kind of has a similar effect.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The Gatherer from Stone and Wood, that seems like a chapter out of Dungeons and Dragons.
It probably is.
Sounds like a character.
When you led with it, I'm like, oh man, this sounds great.
He's got plus 19 hit points. I know nothing about D&D, so.
Or it's a song from Mumford and Son.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Anyway, back to Brick Lane.
Yeah.
How did we get here? So it's a someday sour beer.
Mm.
Make someday today, it says.
Well, we did.
Yep.
The raspberry's kind of gone missing a bit with it, I think.
It has.
I think the watermelon is extremely prominent, which that's fine. Watermelon seems to be a very good thing to put in sour beers.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple that
tastes
use
it. Artificial watermelon, though. Mm-hmm. Have a get in there. Yeah. You know, like when you get like watermelon, say icebox.
Yep.
Yeah, not watermelon juice.
Yeah. I reckon, I'd say, because watermelon is not a strong taste anyway. No. So once you take the water out of the melon.
Yeah. It's just carbon, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. But that's a cracking sour, actually. I'm quite impressed.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with it. And I hate sours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's blatant. I can't stand them. They should not be beer. I know they are. They tick all the boxes. Of the beer world, you know what I mean? Yep. Technically beer, but
Yeah. It annoys me. There's more creativity and imagination in sour beers at times, and it gets me every time. I go, oh, that sounds good, but it's a sour. But then occasionally you get a good one, like the mango macadamia wheat from Revel. Exceptional.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that was incredible. What I think happens is sours, being such a light beer with not a strong overpowering taste, is they lend themselves to really shine a lot of flavors and really shine that yes. sour aspect to it.
Yep.
Whereas you can't really do anything overly strong in an IPA or
it's got to be a strong flavor to stand out sort of thing.
And it's got to be like it's a stout or a sour.
Yeah,
they're either really light or they're really heavy and they carry the flavor as well.
Interesting fun fact though, in Australia that sours are traditionally light, but you go over in Europe they're actually fairly heavy.
Really
scrumpy cider.
Yep.
Very similar to that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose a lot of the Belgian sours.
Yeah.
They are quite. Yeah, full on flavor wise. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We should also add that these are our opinions and we're not biased based on.
Exactly.
Given free beers.
We're given free beers. So, just
about this is good. This is good. Like, I wouldn't leave this at your place, Russell.
Yeah. You'd be knocking the door 5 minutes later. I just didn't pick up my beers.
I love some beers in your fridge. How awkward would that be?
The worst one, mate of mine, Scotty, he drinks like Gold and maybe Hahn Super Dry 3.5. That's all he drinks.
Yeah.
I went over at Christmas and I took some Stone & Wood Pacific Ale. Mm. Like, this is back when it was all the rage and it's hard to get.
Mm.
And I left about 4 stubbies of it in his fridge. Went back 6 months later. They're still there.
It's Scotty like, doesn't know.
It's like, dude, you didn't drink my beer. It's like, no, I'm not drinking that. It's like, Jesus, mate, what's wrong with you?
Don't tell Scotty. Don't tell Scotty. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, that's the thing. You're going to get beer drinkers that are just like, no, I've found the pinnacle of beer when I was 18.
But there's always a point. Like, if someone leaves, like, you know, Great Northern Stubby in my fridge, if I run out of beer, there's a point I get to, fine, I'll drink it. I just want a beer. No, Chris Wooden.
That threshold,
mate,
for
it's
me
beer
is,
batter, and that's it.
The threshold for me is very low. I'm like, that's beer.
Yeah.
It'll work.
Yeah.
10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe.
Number one beer in Australia.
Okay.
GNs.
Yeah. I think Supergrass, yeah, number one selling beer in Australia.
Wow. So it knocked. Like, a long since I've been in the industry, but knocked Gold off the pedestal.
Yeah, it's knocked off Gold. Gold's number two now. So, hence why Forex keep trying to bring out to like Forex Dry and Iron Jack.
Because CEB.
CEB's got great one. Yeah. The beer from up here, not really from up there.
Oh, really, it's made in Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah,
love.
Yeah. All right, next one.
Next one.
Yeah.
All right, up next, beer number two from Brick Lane Brewing. This is another Someday Sour Beer. This is Blood Orange Sour Beer. Let's see how that one goes. Now, Blood Orange has not fared well on the podcast previously.
It really hasn't, has it?
Tart on tart.
Yeah, Blood Orange and Guava, just flavors that just, they keep going back to the well to try and create a beer with it. It just doesn't work. Yeah.
You ready?
Maybe it does on tap. Yeah, crack into
it. No, wait, you finish that.
Just going to say, maybe it works on tap and then it gets canned and it travels and it just travels poorly. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, good point.
Anyway.
Here we go. Let's make this epic.
Nice. Oh, please don't pour beer on the microphone.
I'll get it.
He got a little carried away. He's trying to celebrate, spray it around the room.
I was trying to get that special evidence.
Schweppervescence,
yeah.
Guess who's not getting invited back next week?
Now, if it sounds like we're recording on an iPhone next week or an Android device, it's because he just destroyed my microphone.
Yeah. No, I've got the base. Come on.
Do I need to put the pink sock on and make it look like a penis?
Oh, is that? Yeah, I thought it was a different colour. Was it last week?
It was supposed to be red.
Yeah. It's supposed to be red. Oh, there's a bit of water in that. Sorry, mate.
That's beer pouring, Chris.
Yeah, that's not me relieving myself.
I don't know where the bathroom was.
I said I'm wearing gross pants this week.
Oh, man, I'd get divorced.
Well, well. It's good for the terrarium.
Yeah, just if you're going to pee, pee in the terrarium. It's fine.
That's right. That's what you call that, eh? Terrarium.
It's your terrarium.
I don't know. It's meant to be a Siamese fighting fish tank, but now it's turned into a...
Yeah, it's lacking water for that.
Yeah, and a fish. Well, the reason why we didn't do it is because I was led to believe that the pH levels of the water in this area are too acidic. And it takes constant maintenance to have a fish tank in this area.
It's a problem. Yeah. So it's actually a common problem in Brisbane.
Oh, right.
For a lot of things. So for water filtration, which goes into coffee and also goes into beer.
Beer, yeah.
So it does create a lot of dramas for local brewers and coffee brewers.
Mm. Hence probably why there's that recycled water category in with the wards.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, that's what the Water Me Lawn from Ballistic was part of that.
Oh, right. I'll leave that there.
All right, so this is... Well, it was a blood orange sour from the good folks at Brick Lane. Thank you once again.
That has a strong orange flavour. Yeah.
That smells like
orange.
Fizzy orange lollies.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Shermies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say one thing, like they're not shy on the flavours. Like the flavours are in there.
Well, I've been hanging out for this week for a while. Because, I think I bought it up in one of the cars. I tried one of the Brick Lane porters, which was incredible. The Revolver.
Yeah.
That was just a great beer. So I was really excited to get in and try some of these beers.
That is actually great.
That's actually not bad. It almost tastes a little bit like Lucozade.
Yeah, but not as shitty.
Not as shitty, no. It's like a good version of Lucozade. They probably won't put that on the poster. Yeah. Buy blood orange sour. It tastes a little bit like Lucozade, just not shit.
That's a backhanded compliment. that's two.
Can be said about a few different things, can't it?
That's true.
It's like Mountain Dew, but less shit.
So what was the counterculture beer like started last year? Reinvigorate, whatever it was.
Reinvigorate. Yeah.
That was like Lucozade. That was weird.
It was weird for a beer.
Yeah. People and they did the All Stars voting for the counterculture series Stonewood. Mm. People still voted for that one.
Mm. Yeah, right.
So it came last, but someone voted for it.
Do you know, speaking of weird beers, I was at Range the other day and I kind of said to him, because I just said, what have you got that's interesting? And the girl behind the bar gave me some really great suggestions.
Yeah.
One of them that I did try, she goes, do you like barley wine beers? I'm like, does the Pope shit in the woods? Of course I do.
You mean f***ed up double IPAs?
Yeah. anyway, so it was this collaboration beer that they'd made, and it poured out like dark red, like purple red, and I was like, "What? This is not barley wine.
It's a rustic pipe."
Did you pour your Shiraz instead or something like that? Or cheeky Pinot?
It was... what it tasted like was like a carbonated Merlot.
Oh, God.
And I was just totally, blown... like, just off course.
Did you have a top knot at the time?
I had to borrow one.
I'm not trying to stereotype you.
Because I really don't go out of my way to drink wine. I don't enjoy it. It's not for me. I'd rather spend my money on beer and whiskey.
Yeah.
But you money can well see spent. It. It doesn't really do it justice. But it is a
shit pour, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, it's got.
I don't think it's really got any. Like, it wasn't a strong carbonation.
Is that gas? Is absolutely.
What was the strength on that? Was it high?
It was
barley wine.
It was like 11.
So once you once you get up high, the carbonation kind of
but that's when you put it on nitro, though.
Yeah. Nitro barley. Has anyone ever done a nitro barley wine?
I don't know.
That don't look like no barley.
We're gonna trademark that shit because someone's gonna.
If only we knew how to brew, would be.
Quick, get the website up because once this goes out, someone's gonna take it.
Yeah. Pour an old brewer.
Someone in Estonia.
I love those Estonians. Honestly,
our top viewers, top listeners,
top. Time of recording number 49 in Estonia for food podcasts. So that's great. So. Screw you, Australia. We're moving to Estonia. I'm just joking. Love you, Shrey. Honestly.
We'll leave the wife and kids here.
Yeah.
I quite like this. I'm not sure I'd like it as much as the watermelon.
I prefer the watermelon over this, but like again, it's not shy of flavours. Like the sourness and the tartness is there, but you still get plenty of the orange, and it's
in a good way, I think.
Yeah, and there's even got like my favourite word on the podcast, pith. Orange pith coming through and kind of a bit of rindy sort of ness going in there.
Sounds like you're Mike Tyson saying piss, really.
Yeah. I'm a bit pith.
Thor. To be honest, I like that better than the watermelon one.
Yeah.
Like, the watermelon, it was great, but I don't like the artificial watermelon taste. That tasted more natural. Where it's meant to be.
But still.
Where beer should be made.
Because I always see people asking online, like, good entry-level sours. These two are good entry-level sours. Like, if you just branch it out into them, like normally I recommend like Brouhaha, the strawberry rhubarb is cracking one to start off with. These would be good as well.
Yeah, I agree.
No, seriously, sometime comes. What's it called?
Someday Blood Orange.
Great day drink.
I did mention before, I drank those two cans of the Pale Ale that I did drink, and they were pretty good as well.
Do you remember what percentage of it?
They were low. They're about, I think, 4.2, 4.5.
Oh, so around the range.
Nice, just casual sort of pails. And they had a bit of like pepperiness to it, when you got the...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's quite nice, actually. It reminded me of, I think, the old Ballistic Pale Ale had that as well. Like you drink it, and you got like, normal sort of pale, but then there's this kind of spike-like pepper coming through. It's really nice. And good job.
You might need to put it in clarity. What do you mean by old Ballistic Pale Ale?
Because they changed it. So when
I do want to go down there.
When they did the rebrand of the cans, they changed the recipe for the Pale Ale.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
But was there a big thing saying they didn't?
There's a couple that they didn't. So the Oat XPA changed the same. I'm pretty sure the Pale and the IPA, they changed quite heavily.
Yeah.
Maybe
Ballistic can give us some clarity. I did plug your ginger beer. It was great.
Mate, I plug them all the time. They don't give me shit. I think the only time we haven't mentioned them in a podcast is probably the Happy Valley special. So.
I tell you what, we're only halfway through this, but so far these are beers that I would pick up again.
Yeah.
And I think I've probably never picked them up in the past because of the artwork. Because I'm a visual creature.
Yes.
They do kind of look boring, but I think they're really cracking beers.
Looks like it should be a Dan Murphy's. You know what I mean?
Actually, so I do have a fun fact about Brick Lane.
Go on then.
Oh, yes.
Right, so I was... for the last couple of weeks, I've been down at the local First Choice, and I've usually got a slab or a carton of my Poverty Pack craft beer or Hans Super Dry or something that is just a fridge filler.
Fridge fillers, yep.
Because I'm not that rich, to be fair. Can't afford to fill it with craft beer all the time.
Your M-Series BMW out the front says something different, but carry on.
Yeah.
It's cleverly disguised as a Hyundai.
Don't be fooled by appearances. I've got all this fun stuff, but I tell you what, I'm up to my eyeballs in debt. But I picked up a carton of the Tinnies. Tinnies, right? And it was about $52 for a carton.
Yeah.
For 24 beers, that's a pretty good equation in my mind.
Mm.
When I was sitting there enjoying one of them, I was reading the side of the can. It said, brewed by Brick Lane.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and then this story gets even better. Following week, went down there again, different beer on special, Smithies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a cyan, kind of dark cyan kind of coloured carton and cans.
I think I've seen, another one to talk about.
Smithies Easy Drinking Beer or something like that. Anyway, sitting there enjoying one of those, reading the side, brewed by Brick Lane.
Yeah, so, right.
So they actually brew a handful of beers for Woolworths or whoever.
Woolworths, Coles, and all that. Yeah,
as like their entry level craft beer.
Because that used to be the case with the plain label ones that used to have in Coles and all the pubs and stuff like that. I forget what they're called. It's like
Hammer and Tongs.
Two tractors or something. Three pub circus is one of them.
Yeah.
And there's another one as well. I can't remember the name of it. The Pale Ale was a lot made by Four Pines or something like that, and something else would brew somewhere else. So they get these guys, give them a stack of cash and brew it for us.
I think I was
Two Lorries it was called. Sorry, Two Lorries.
You sure it's called Lorry Boys?
That's who. Lorry Boys, that's the one.
I don't remember it.
Well, it is an interesting fact. My dad is one of them sort of rusted on Forex gold drinkers. Really, yep. Working class Australian, been in the North Queensland sun basically his whole life.
Yep.
Anyway, he knows I don't drink gold. So, straight out, end up converting him. And that's literally his staple now is Lorry Boys.
Really?
Parlour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and he worked it out. Like he said, it's a heavier beer. I drink less. You know, I get the same fulfillment. And pound versus pound, it's actually better value to buy Lorry Boys than gold.
I don't even know what this Lorry Boys is.
It's just I thought it was just their control brand or something.
It's basically no frills branded beer for like First Choice and Liquorland and stuff.
They do a tropical ale and a Pacific.
It's very, very generic looking cans. It's to make it look like fake craft, basically.
Yeah, so, that's the best way to put it. Fake craft. Yeah.
I wonder if it's like, you know how there's certain predator animals that can't see you if you move?
Mm.
Like Tyrannosaurus rexes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those ones. I reckon those kind of beers are like that with me.
Yeah.
Like, because their labels don't show up, I just don't see them.
Yeah, he's just got glazed parsley. Because for a while, they're the only kind of like crafty-looking beers you get from a First Choice. You walk in and it's just all like Three Pub Circus, Lorry Boys, Steam Rail was another label they used to have as well.
I do know Steam Rail, yeah.
And even, the Tinnies brand, which was, the catchphrase was, looks arty, tastes crafty. So they don't actually call themselves craft beer, but they make it sound like they are. Like, yeah. Devious bit of marketing there.
Yeah. But, for a $52 carton of beer,
yeah,
I was quite happy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I spent $50 at Countercultural Beers the other day. I got four cans, so... Yeah. Sometimes you need something cheaper to fill the fridge.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. I mean, and look, the other day when I was saying that I went and picked up that Red Velvet beer.
Yep.
I got that 4-pack and a mixed 4-pack, $50.
Yeah, that's it.
That's going to be gone like tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's why I don't drink one or two, because I need to like spread out for the rest of the week.
And like, I get it. If you go to the pub, right?
Mm.
You're going to spend $50 easy on a handful of beers anyway.
Yeah.
It's just the cost of beer.
Yeah.
But you get entertainment value.
Exactly.
Whereas when you sit at home, you got to drink by yourself, entertain yourself.
You invite friends, though. You make it sound so lonely, mate.
The problem is, if I'm spending $50 on 8 beers, I don't want to invite anyone.
Just tell them a BYO. Well, that's when you do buy the carton of $50 and give them those beers.
Yeah, true. Yeah, ask my friends; they'll tell you that's what I do. Have you tried this beer?
Yeah. I'll admit, like, getting back onto like the Brick Lane thing, I only really paid attention to Brick Lane when I knew that Dan Carter was one of the co-owners of it.
Who's Dan Carter?
He's the greatest All Blacks fly half of all time.
But that's basically why I don't know him.
Yeah, exactly. He's rugby, so
yeah,
it's why I know him.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, they're backed by, I know Billy Slater's part of it. Dan Carter's part of it. Mick Molloy, oddly, he's got shares in it as well.
Yeah.
There's quite a few sort of celebrity mates that all got together and like put money in for this brewery. So anyway,
cool.
Should we crack another?
Definitely should.
All right, round three for Show and Tell. Brick Lane Hoppy Red Ale is up next. It's a 5.3% red ale. Chris has gone early with a pre-cracked.
Still got my pants on.
I was copying paste one of the other cracks from before.
That's a premature evacuation.
What a joke. It's gold.
Red hoppy ale.
Red hoppy ale. Mm.
It looks red.
It does look
it's
red.
It's reddish. I would say reddish.
It's red with lots of head.
I've seen redder red ales.
Yeah, definitely seen redder red ales.
It's very, There we go. Maybe look at this in the even, isn't it? Oh, you got a big one.
Yep. Warren gets the big serve on this one. But yeah, it's more. It is reddish. Tinge of red, amber kind of.
To be honest, it's like on the cusp between a brown ale and a pale ale, but more towards a pale ale colour.
It's almost like amber sort of ale. Yeah,
not quite red. Not saying it's got to be ruby red.
But, drinks there as well. Yeah. So the sun dips and the last of the warmth mixes with the crisp night air. Red Hoppy suspends the moment between surrounding you in a blanket of delicious malty sweetness and sensations of ripe stone fruit. An intense complex of Moorish ale that transports you to the hours of not quite today and not yet tomorrow. But wait, there's more.
Oh.
Red Hoppy is layered with three caramel malts. It's hopped with Centennial in the kettle with Simcoe, Amarillo, and Mosaic added in the whirlpool before dry hopping. So, yeah.
I mean, that was binging with Babish.
I'm so addicted to that.
Oh, man, he's so good.
So there's something sensual about listening to. Have you caught Binging with Babish?
No, I've got no idea.
Huge YouTube cooking show, and you can only really see his chest down and his hands working, and he narrates at the top of it, and he's just got this deep soothing voice.
It is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
So deep soothing voice, kind of like me.
yeah,
like you, but kind of the opposite. but he
very polarized.
Yeah, he recreates a lot of dishes from TV shows and movies and stuff, right? And he'll do a version of it, then he'll make a good version of it, so you can do it.
Yeah, you make a $5 version and the $200 version.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, here we go.
All right,
it smells sensational.
Yes, it smells very hoppy. It's smelling more like a West Coast IPAs or heavily hopped IPA.
I don't want to sip it just in case it lets me down.
I'm confused.
Oh no.
I think I like it, but I'm just confused.
Okay. What's confusing about that?
I don't know. That's why I'm confused.
Well, I would say, as far as being a red IPA, it's not a good red IPA, but it's a very good IPA. If that makes sense. It doesn't taste what you normally expect from a what I expect from a red IPA. Normally you get that sort of that sticky kind of spicy sort of I don't know if you guys had the Vampire Lovers from Newstead. That to me is my classic red IPA. Whereas this is a very nice.
This is catered for the very new punters into the scene.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
it's very very easy.
Well, I'm not saying that I don't like it. I quite like it. It's just a very good hoppy IPA.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's different notes of the red IPA through it without it being overbearing.
Yeah.
Like you do get some red IPAs where it's like, okay, this is just it's too much.
It is.
But yeah.
Well, to be honest, it is a very broad field. I've kind of narrowed down to one sort of taste profile, which is probably bad for me. Whereas there's lots of different ways you can do a red IPA. Yeah. Just like black IPAs, there's so many different variations on that sort of theme as well. So, yeah. But yeah, this is very hoppy and actually quite.
I think the description on the can actually nails it quite well. It's like maltiness, sweetness. I think it's quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I guess the confusion for me is around where it sits, as you say, in terms of a red IPA.
And what was it 5.5%?
5.3.
It drinks a lot heavier than a 5.3.
Yeah. Carries a lot
more flavor. That tastes like what a lot of 7.5% beers would taste like with the amount of flavor in there.
Yeah.
So this is a good one. If you can't drink two and drive whatever like that, you can have one or two of them and over a 3-hour period probably. But yeah, you're still getting the flavor but without the extra booziness. So it's
I
rate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it'd be a good one to, if you need to fill the fridge with a few extra cans, that's a good one to pick up.
Yeah. And you've got people that really want to experiment. Step outside their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Like the pale ale drinker, I want to try something a bit more adventurous. This is a good, have a crack at that. Explore that.
Yeah.
Well, so far, all these beers, they're a step above James Squire and that sort of stuff. Your entry level, I'm bored with Forest Gold, I'll try a 150 Lashes. And your next step should be something like these. Because these are the next step up in flavour, but it's not polarising. It's not chucking, 11% alcohol at you. It's not chucking some weird hops at you that's, going to put you off.
Yeah.
It's a good sort of step into the next level of craft beer. So
I agree. And I kind of think they're almost like the catalyst between the two worlds. Mm. But they're good enough to sit on
catalyst or entry gateway drug.
I don't know. Gateway drug. But I think they're good enough to sit in even your hardest craft beer enthusiast's fridge and be enjoyable.
Yeah, 100%.
Because they're not light on flavor; they're full of flavor. They're just very palatable and easily accessible flavors.
Yeah.
So
you can definitely have a few of them watching the footy.
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like casually,
sort of trying to critique it.
Actually, that's probably good. Like that actually would be a very good like State of Origin beer.
Yeah. Like just a four pack.
You can have a few of them. It's not going to tire on you, and
yeah.
Which I think by the time this episode comes out will be about 8 days away.
That's if they can get into Melbourne. They might need to relocate that one pretty quickly.
Suncorp Stadium.
Apparently, Canberra.
Ah.
Yeah, they're going to take it to GIA. I don't know why they haven't made that a mutual ground forever.
Because it's Canberra.
It only holds like 30,000, I think. That's probably the other the other thing. So.
Plus it's Canberra.
It's Canberra. Yeah. It's a cold shit hole.
Sounds awkward. All right, we've got one more beer to crack, so we get into it.
Yep.
Right, before we get into the last beer of the day, new brews coming near use. Was. What are you looking forward to, mate?
In a brew?
Brew. Hey, brew.
I think actually there should be like a Australian New Zealand collaboration beer, and it should be called Cheers Brew.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Comes out next week.
Lamington.
Right after we release our Nitro Barley wine.
Lamington Brown Ale from Deeds.
Yes.
Looks interesting.
I'm pretty sure I've had this one in the past.
Have you? Okay.
When Deeds used to be available at like First Choice, like when they first started. Now I'm pretty sure there's a Lamington Ale from them there, and I wasn't that sold on it. But this is going back about 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm. To be fair, I probably won't ever drink it because it'd be $25. But
yeah,
This is probably just a list of beers that I've seen recently that I think would be interesting. Yeah.
But so I don't know whether they've evolved that recipe to make it better because they've got quite a good reputation now. So
Maybe you're buying better quality ingredients.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe
yep.
Knows. Yep.
For the amount they charge, it should be.
Definitely. I have had this one in the past, but I don't recall whether it was a spiced rum porter. It was the Event Horizon from Ether.
Ah, I did see the pop-up, yeah.
They're bringing back the peanut butter stout.
Yes.
Amazing.
I'll be onto that.
And the Event Horizon. And I've had it in the past, but I can't recall whether it was a spiced
rum porter. No, because I just thought it was either like a black IPA or
I thought it was a porter.
Yeah, or a porter or something like that. Yeah, no, I thought it was a porter.
Mm.
But the fact that it's a spiced rum porter is kind of... Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a change or I just didn't read it properly originally, but I'm keen to buy one and find out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I actually spotted this one. Sounds really interesting. It's called Mellow Laser Quest, and it's a marshmallow and pineapple hazy from
Mellow
Brewdog.
Mellow Laser Quest?
Yeah.
From who?
From Brewdog.
Oh, I thought you said Moondog there. Brewdog, right. Yeah. Okay.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah. Is that a Brisbane brewed one, is it?
Don't know.
Okay.
I hope so, but I don't know.
Oh, just
you're asking me to do research and stuff. I didn't.
Minimum requirements. No, because it's interesting. Like the beers are kind of brewing at Brisbane at the moment, more sort of the mainstream, and they're not really pushing the boxes too much. But it'd be interesting. But
generally, they do stock some of the interesting stuff.
Yeah,
but
I
think it's imported rather than
which is fine. But yeah, just curious what they're doing over there. So
There was also for the bingo fans, Happy Valley Brewing have just released a cola sour.
Interesting.
Apparently, and I know you guys spoke about this last week, being basically the same style.
Yeah.
Tasting like the little cola bottles,
yes.
The lollies.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the way it was described.
Who was the one last week? Was
I feel like it was the Sunny Coast. Was it Moffat Brewing or was it?
I can't remember. It was a blood orange. Actually,
it was like a blood orange cola sour.
Yeah, it was a blood orange cola sour or something like that. So, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so I'm keen to give that a go and see what it's all about.
Yeah. It's an interesting like sour flavour that hasn't really been explored much.
Mm.
Has it, or they just can't do it successfully?
Well, probably haven't been able to do it successfully, so it depends. It'd be interesting to see how successful it really is.
Seems like it'd be the first one to sort of...
Yeah.
When they start getting the, what the creative juices going. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know, we'll see what happens.
The next was... I actually haven't heard of this brewery before, but it is Australian and I'm keen to give it a go. It's called Fire in the Hole. And it's
Chili Tuesday.
It's an Indian curry.
With ghost pepper.
No, it's a cherry wood smoked Baltic porter.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, that sounds good.
Hello.
It does sound good, yeah. That sounds real good. Probably never see it in a bottle.
What brewery was it?
It's called Urban Alley Brewing.
Oh, I've seen them pop up on online web shops.
Let's find out more about them. That sounds really
good. Yeah, because they... They always make me think of the sportswear. The sportswear brand, Under Armour.
Oh yeah, well yeah, you are. Yeah, yeah.
What's it called? Urban
Urban Alley.
Yeah.
Alley Brewery, Docklands, Victoria.
Victorian.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. They are currently open. Close at 10 PM tonight. So.
Well,
we might get there before lockdown.
Don't know if they'll make it.
We could probably make it down there. We probably won't be allowed out of the state afterwards, though.
Have a quick glance at their website.
Yeah, because they've got a pack of their beers on, I think, Craft Cartel, doing a special pack.
That's where that sort of stuff's available.
Yeah, right.
So it's not definitely not a first choice Dan Murphy's type.
No.
And the last one I wanted to make mention of was we actually got a message from Joel from Helios.
Oh, right.
Because they've got a launch of their new beer, which is Icarus.
That's the double IPA.
Great launch, by the way. They're doing like burgers and bowls at Carina Bowls Club or something like that.
Bears, burgers and bowls.
Yeah.
Why aren't I going? What don't I know
about? It's tonight. You can go.
Can we? Okay. Yeah. We should go.
What are you doing tonight? It's Thursday night footy. Is South Sydney playing? I don't think so. Might be able to.
Yeah.
Even
if they were heard they're playing, they'd probably get beat for 50.
That's not funny.
It's not. I'm being serious. We won.
That's true. Speaking of Helios, though, they've been around for a few years now.
Yep.
I reckon watch that space. They're doing some really good creative new stuff.
They've got some momentum going at the moment. Like they used to, like the first classic series beer came out, it was like towards the end of last year, like September, October.
Yeah.
And they just released their ESB, which I had the other week, which is really nice.
Great beer. Yeah.
But then they also got, you know, the WIPA released this week. Then I saw they had posted making an Irish lager as well.
Oh,
it seems like the new releases are starting to step up a bit. So
interesting about the double IPA though, not to put a negative spin on this. I thought their Zeus Thunderbolt was a double IPA.
I think it is.
I thought it was, yeah.
I love that beer, by the way.
Mate, it blows your head off, but it's a good beer.
I remember you. I think you brought me home some cans of it as well. Holy crap.
It was like one of your first ones, didn't it?
It probably would have been,
yeah.
I picked it up like years ago at Eaton's Hill. There's a bottle shop there.
Yeah. That's probably one of their first like little retail outlets. Mm.
Yeah. And I went, oh, this looks really interesting. Grabbed a four pack and it was incredible.
Like Charlie the brewer there, like, needs way more credit.
Yeah,
it's a real smoky that place. Just watch it
because he's got quite a good reputation, Charlie, and just kind of quietly sits around and does his thing.
Yeah, like you got the big boys doing their thing, but Helios have the capability to do big boy things.
Especially now that the industry seems to be going away from like the hazies a lot more. Like 12 months ago, if you weren't making hazies, you weren't selling beer basically. Whereas now everyone's kind of we're over that. Let's go back to the classics.
But Helios just steamed through.
That's exactly. They've been doing that. Yes, they have released like hazy and stuff to move some product. That's fine. But yeah, they're still stuck to doing, like I said, the ESB. Is it a Dunkel beer or something like that?
They did.
Kronos Breakfast Stout or whatever. They do that one. The Kronos.
I've never had that one.
Mate,
but
delicious and it rattles you.
But he's in his message, he said it's just come off the canning line now. And it's almost a bit of Zeus Gold flavor to it.
That was one they'd done last year.
They said if you ever tried that variant of Zeus that we canned last year, it's kind of similar to that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So keen to give that a go as well.
Yeah. We'll try the
other bowl. Might get onto them, see if they can hook us up and we'll do a Helios.
Absolutely.
Russ.
So ones I'm looking forward to. There's one from Modus Operandi. They teamed up with Cocoa Black Chocolate, and they've got a Choc Hazelnut Belgian Stout. Apparently, Cocoa Black is a pretty, connoisseur's chocolate sort of brand. And so,
wasn't he the basketball player in semi-pro?
Maybe. He might be one of the Harlem Globetrotters or something like that. I'm not sure.
I love that movie.
Everybody love everybody.
I hate Will Ferrell, so I don't really.
Oh, really?
Oh, I can't see him.
He's polarizing.
He doesn't do it for me. Anyway, other one that I'm looking forward to is actually Working Title. Four new beers come out.
I did see one of those.
So, four new beers. One's called Ticket to Paradise. It's a passion fruit and guava hazy IPA. They've got California with a K, West Coast IPA as well. That's a 6.4%. 5% by the looks. The Sideways Oat Cream Rosé XPA, which sounds curious.
That is, but yeah, cream with an XPA.
Yeah. And then Red Velvet, which is a red rye ale.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that just comes this week. So, and the other one I wanted to mention as well, which I don't know how I feel about this. Always around Christmas time, Bear Cartel released the Advent Calendar.
They do.
Which I quite enjoy. It's Christmassy. It's Advent Calendar. They're releasing one for Christmas in July this year.
I kind of feel like they're almost doing it every 3 months now.
Which, yeah, to me, is like, it just seems like too much of a blatant cash grab. And I hate... The whole idea of Christmas in July is... I think it's crap anyway.
Russell, how dare you say that Beer Cartel is up for a blatant cash grab?
I know. It's shocking news, I know.
I'm disgusted.
But it's like, come on. July Beer Advent Calendar? No. I'll still probably get it in December. Fine. Yeah. I pay a stupid amount of money for 25 beers. I don't know what they are, but
yeah, it's basically like just the mixed mixed carton of beers. Yeah.
The one thing I like is that there's always beers in there that they don't brew for anything else. I always drop my pen in when you're around. That's
all. Always dropping.
But he never makes a move. I don't get it. Do I need to start dropping soap? Is that what I do?
I'll go next door.
Now that you've got pants on, I'm more interested.
But yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Shall we have another beer?
I think we should have another beer. So the next one on the lineup is Avalanche, which is a hazy IPA. 6.7%.
Ooh, it was a bit of a serious one, this one.
Yeah, and it's... they randomly have Northern Hemisphere Hop Harvest written at the top, so I don't know what that means, but maybe it's a series that they've got.
Now, Josh did mention they had an Avalanche Hazy IPA previously. They've changed the hop profile in this one, so it's slightly different. And I think that one of these beers is going to evolve over time with different hops.
Yeah,
I could be wrong in that. Let me know, Josh, if I stuffed that up. But
let's give it a go.
Unleash the Kraken.
Did you notice that I didn't pour beer into your microphone?
No, it's good, and you cracked it while the microphone was turned on, which is nice. But hey, we're 31 episodes in, 32 episodes in, we're professionals these days.
Jeez, I better stop. I was just free pouring. I was used to pouring beers at home, so
yeah, you're still shit pouring. Like Chris is going to get like the dreads at the end. And that's about it.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want that one?
The nips are getting smaller.
Just take that one. It's been rinsed. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Hey, no COVID here.
That's right. Well, no, I'll just take taking.
Sorry.
Beautiful. No, I don't want heaps anyway. I just want enough to pray for it.
Right.
Okay.
As usual, totally botched that pull. So here we are.
Could weigh it like Zarafa's coffee. Make it fair. Anyway, that just smells straight up like a hazy.
Yeah, it just smells like a
run of the mill
classic sort of hazy.
Every brewer has like a profile.
Yep.
That just kind of covers all of their beers, and they all have a certain smell or flavour about them.
Yep.
And Brick Lane, I've noticed, have it. Not necessarily on the sours, but definitely in the hoppy IPA.
Yeah, well, there's a lineage of taste with the sours anyway. Like they
carry
them. Yeah, like the same sort of base, different flavours. And it'll be some of the other beers as well, I imagine. So
here we go. What was that? 5 point.
Oh, 6.7. 6.7.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's on my threshold.
It's a big boy.
That's the point when beer stops being beer.
You wouldn't want to look in my fridge then.
My idea of a beer is not having one. It's totally binging the shit out of it. So if it's between 4 and 6, you can have a fair session.
See,
anything over, it's the downward tilt.
I've got a bit of a theory on this, right?
Yeah, here we go.
At certain points, depending on how fast I drink beer and the type of beer, I get quite bloated.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, that's like 7 or 8.
Yeah. So the answer to me, I started drinking beer when I was 18. I've been bloated ever since.
But my theory is if I drink high ABV beers...
You drink less.
I drink less.
Mm.
And I'd have to switch to scotch.
But then is there not more sugar related to the high ABV in the beer? So
I don't know. Do I look like a scientist?
There's actually a scale. So in theory, that sounds right.
Yeah.
But
Remember, it's a theory, not science.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I don't have actual reference.
But in reality, I'm just pissed more.
Yes, yeah, and you don't care. But I'm pretty sure the scale is like a funnel type effect. So lower, obviously, the smaller neck, wider, it's getting bigger. So it sort of compounds on itself. So eight to seven is a vast difference, if that makes sense. Yeah.
But kind of runs with the thing. Like it's a very drinkable, hazy, everyday sort of like beer you're going to have quite regularly. Like it's... Again, hazies is a marker that's hard to stand out with, and doesn't stand out on its own. But then it's something that you can quite easily have a couple of and quite knocking back no drums. Like it's very smooth, very smooth. It's nice, lightly fruited. It's got a
bit of a strong flavour to it.
Yeah,
which I kind of like in a beer.
Yeah, and it doesn't have. Well, I mentioned the Four Hearts Sippy Sippy Num Nums had that dry sort of finish. This doesn't have that. The flavour carries on and lives a bit in your mouth. So,
It lingers like the cranberries.
Yeah. No, that's quite a nice beer, actually. Mm. It's
quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
Mm. Very, actually, it's very similar to the Bolter Hazy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
The big yellow can. Mm. It's good, though.
Yeah.
No, that's another good beer, so.
Bricklayer are winning.
They are. They,
I'm thoroughly impressed.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with their lineup. And these are all standard sort of core range beers as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the extra special ones or anything like that. It's just buy them any day at the bottle shop. So
on a scale from Moondog to, like, say, Enlightenment,
it's
cruising up the stairs.
Yeah, exactly. It's in terms of it's the category of everyday beers. Like, normally, if I see like a Black Hops or a Ballistic or a Bolt or something that,
big shop.
Yeah, and it's not just brews that start with B as well. So
I'm sensing a theme, though.
Exactly. So Brick Lane fits in with that as well. So, but yeah, just beers that I need a 4-pack of just to fill up while I spend $20 on something else as well. So all four of these beers do the job. And as I said, the Pale Ale that didn't make it to the show, rest in peace, was a good one as well. So.
I'm definitely
more likely rest in my pee, I think,
on the tree.
I'm definitely going to be more inclined to pick him up off the shelf when I'm out, when I see him.
Yeah, or in my sort of terms, I call it the Alamos. So, you know, when you go to a pub and you can't decide what you want to eat, you just go, I'll get a chicken parmy. That's like the Alamo. That's where we're going to be. So when you're at that bottle shop and you're looking at this very daunting range, and you just go, at Alamo.
Yeah,
I mean, that was my Bolter XPA, but I can nearly jump on that.
And they haven't sold out, so that's good.
Well, they got so much like celebrity endorsement behind them, so they probably don't need to this stage. And it sounds like they've got a fairly large facility down in Melbourne now.
That sounds like a really familiar marketing strategy. The guy that punched a shark. What was his name again?
Good point.
Not to take anything away from Bolter from selling out, I would do exactly
that. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the end of a dream.
Like, someone comes on and goes, hey, 12 million, and you can continue brewing somewhere else.
I'm buying an island.
If Joe Rogan came in, hey, I want to buy your crappy podcast, here's $1 million, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Mind you, if you came in like, here's a cheeseburger, would you sell it to me? Sure.
upgraded to a large combo.
Come on. Got to be a quarter pounder. Minimum quarter pounder.
Yeah, I'm double enough.
He's asking you, remember. You dictate terms.
But no, thank you once again, Josh and Brick Lane Brewing, for sending these our way, and
the first sponsored episode.
Oh,
Happy Valley they gave us some free beers to try.
So just throwing out there, if you want the goodness of the pouring old men, cough up the goods. I'm holding you to ransom.
Anything else?
Yes. Where's Wazza?
And it's that time once again for Where's Wazza?
It is, and I kind of feel like it's been a long time between drinks.
It has, well, theoretically.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, I've got a 1-year old that makes it hard to get out to craft beer breweries.
Mate, I've got 3 kids, it makes it impossible to get out to craft breweries.
Anyway, got out to Range Brewing this week.
Yep.
There's a little bit of a story behind it.
Right.
My brother's up at the moment, wanted to catch up for a beer, went, let's go out somewhere nice, decided on Sea Legs, rang him up, booked out, and went, well, maybe Brewdog, rang him up, booked out.
Oh, bloody hell.
And then so we settled on Rage.
Yep.
Which was by no means to take anything away from them. Well, it was going in terms of familiarity rather than not wanting to go and check them out, but I'm really glad that I did. It's a great little spot in Newstead. It was hard to find a seat, but I also think there was a beer festival on in Brisbane over the weekend as well.
Was it? Oh, was it the Urban Beer Crawl?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
A few other guys have been on our notice.
Yeah.
So I think that may have played a part. However, they had some great beers on tap. They had some collabs. Had a great selection of cans on offer. I took advantage of that. took home a few cans.
Oh, grabbed a few cans.
I did. Yeah.
And took some beer home.
I did. Yeah. And just a great little spot, very industrial, kind of in the back streets of Newstead. Parking wasn't too difficult on the weekend. Finding a table was harder than it was to find a car park.
Yep.
Wow, that's winning there.
Yeah.
I'll settle with that any day.
they had about like 10 of their own beers. Yep. And they had four or five different collaborations with other breweries as well. And they had some interesting stuff like that peanut butter and banana stout. They had that wine beer that I was talking about earlier, which was a bit... I'm not going to go back to it, but hey, it was interesting to give it a try.
That's right.
And some of their IPAs and their core range beers were really incredible as well. They've only got like a little menu on offer. It's basically a pizza menu.
Because, it's pretty much pizza there, isn't it? Yeah.
We got one of the pizzas and it was really good, really tasty. Yeah, the atmosphere was strong. The people behind the bar, they were keen on their beers, so. Yeah. I kind of just went up and went, hey, give me some interesting stuff to try. And they gave me some great recommendations. Yep. So they were right into it as well. So it was a really good spot. I'm really glad that that's where we ended up.
Yeah.
We had a great afternoon. So
you recommend it to your, say, I don't know, mother-in-law or something like that?
No, because she doesn't drink.
On the hypothetically. All right, that was awkward. Hypothetically, if she did. She was a, would you tell people to go there?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think, look, it's... And it had a real family vibe about it as well. There was a lot of families there, a lot of like people that would just seem to be like getting together for a catch up. It wasn't overbearing in terms of music. It wasn't too loud, too hustle and bustly, but it had a good vibe about it as well. So yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. And especially public transit would be pretty cool too if you want to get sloshed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not too far.
Recommend that. I don't know. Does that work on podcasts? I don't RSA?
Know. Yeah. Yes. There's no regulations or anything like that, so...
Oh, we're global. It doesn't matter. It's Vegas in here, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah, drink responsibly-ish.
In Estonia. Yeah.
So go to the venue and check on your Check in Queensland app and drink responsibly there.
Yeah. Look, the one thing I will say is...
Yeah, right.
I don't care how much you drink, just don't drink and drive.
Yeah, 100%. I'm good for that. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where I'll be.
Excellent. Mm. Well, I think that's all we got time for on today's episode of The Pouring Old Man. Thank you for joining us, and thank you once more. I know, sucking up to them now. Brick Lane and Josh, thank you for swinging us those beers. Much appreciated. And that's all for me. I've been Russell.
I've been Mosa.
The neighbour.
He's still learning, don't worry. You've been awesome. We'll catch you next time.